Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
All right, Dan, so a fantastic game one last night. We'll recap that in a sec, but a great stat. And when the Islanders made the playoffs, there's a lot of first time, long time.
Yes,
much,
there are. Yes,
much
there
like,
are.
You know, Mike Francesa's callers. But
who, by the way, ignored the Islanders completely today. Just did a live play of the Masters.
Well, of course. I mean, everyone's going to, you know, ignore the Islanders, but, you know, it's fine.
But you know what? I would rather you not talk about the Islanders than pretend you know what the hell you're talking about and talk about the Islanders.
Exactly. And then when people talk about them, they just rag on them anyway. So that's fine. That's fine. Just, you know, keep proving them wrong. But a quick stat, they can do something they haven't done since the final cup winning year of 1983 is take a 2-0 lead in a series. And they can do that Friday night, which is it's pretty amazing that it's been that long.
Well, I think that would be amazing. And if they can obviously get that win on Friday, that would be outstanding and really lead them to try and win this series. But if I just have a feeling after watching last night that these are two teams that are very close. It's a clash of styles, but it leads to very exciting hockey. I think it's going to be a very long season. But if you look at the way the Islanders played last night, you really, as we questioned all those moves during the offseason, you can see why they were made right now. Like a guy like Tom Kunok coming in, and he was just causing hell last night. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, you know, he came out, he scored.
I wish the goal counted, you know?
Yeah, because he had, you know, the second goal, too, that move was so pretty. You know, we knew that one wasn't going to count at all, even if they went ahead.
But he played with a confidence.
He did.
Played, you know, and he gave a spark to that line, and he also created a lot of space on that line because he was like a human bowling ball just bouncing around there. And the third line was really good as well, being agitating. And, of course, the fourth line is the fourth line. So you look at the Islanders have a very heavy team here that's going to try and wear down the Penguins. Now, if the game was really back and forth, and the Penguins were able to get a lot of quality scoring chances. So it's something the Islanders have to tighten up. If we look at this team right now and we look at how the series may progress, progress. If we look at how this series might play out, the Islanders look like they can take advantage of the Penguins' defense. They look like they can beat up that defense. And Matt Murray was very pedestrian in game one.
Yeah, and you know what? The problem there is they don't have a Marc-Andre Fleury anymore. They don't have those two goals.
There's no safety net.
So it's Murray or nothing. So it's basically, and the Islanders can, you know, they scored, if you want to say they scored 5 goals yesterday against Murray. You know, because, I mean, the offsides, I mean, come on, that had nothing to do with Murray letting in that goal. But the response right after that, having Jordan Eberle score a couple minutes after, and he had a fantastic game. He's totally playing for a contract now, you know, with the Islanders. We'll get in that in the offseason. But let's just hope this is not like a one-game thing like a Shane Prince a couple of years against Tampa. You know, he looks confident.
No, I mean,
he was basically quiet in Edmonton. During
You put Shane Prince in the same sentence as Jordan Eberle. Look at the resumes.
All I'm saying is you don't want his playoff, you know, to reach the playoff peak in game one and then go completely dark.
Oh, of course not. Ryan Strome did that a few years. Brock Nelson was notorious for that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And this team is completely different. Right. Like I said, this is going to be a very, very long season series.
Right. And speaking of Brock Nelson, you know, they actually scored a power play goal, you know, because basically game one, everything is down to zero. So they scored in the first power play. Hey, 100%.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, you don't get too many chances in the playoffs. That being said, there were a couple questionable calls yesterday. You know, that Anders Lee penalty, which was atrocious, but they killed it off. So it was no harm, no foul there. I was shocked that they didn't call a goalie interference in the overtime, even though it clearly wasn't goalie interference. But, you know, the Penguins get those calls.
They do. They're like the Patriots. So you have to beat them by an extra goal almost. You know, you got to beat them by 2 goals because they're going to get those calls. And the way you look at the Penguins are, or actually the way you look at the playoffs, you're probably going to get 2 or 3 power plays during the course of the game, and that's it. There's going to be missed calls. There's going to be blown calls. There's going to be no calls. It's like that league-wide. It's like that for every team. I don't agree with what the league does during the playoffs, so they just burn the rule book.
Right.
If it's a penalty in October, it should be a penalty in March and April.
Agreed.
I don't like that. But with that being said, you're going to have to overcome those bad calls. Every team that wins a cup overcomes those bad calls. So you just got to suck it up, get to your PK, and kill the penalty.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Islanders did yesterday. So they totally sucked it up. And it was like they played with a basically kind of chip on their shoulder after that terrible call. But, you know, a couple of players also stood out yesterday who I thought had really, really solid games. You know, Matt Barzal, what's just, you know, basically north-south game. We kept complaining about how he has to basically transform his game. Playing mostly east-west for the second half of the year, turned it on. He had that great scoring chance in overtime, which led to the Josh Bailey winner.
Yeah, and just the way this team responded all night, you know, as the Penguins kept tying it, there was never any panic. And even after the Penguins tied it with a minute to go, the Islanders almost won in regulation with Bailey hitting the post. It just never seemed like there was any panic by the team throughout the course of the game, and that's really encouraging moving forward.
Yeah, and you know they came out flying yesterday. They really did, and then they kind of, you know, in the second period, they kind of went back on their heels, and you know the crowd also kind of went quiet. And Barry Trotz in the post-game press conference let the fans have it a little bit there.
He'll call on anybody, right? No, I understand what he's saying too. It's like the Coliseum, you know, look, it's a loud atmosphere, it's rockets, the place is rocking. But sometimes when this fan base still has PTSD from the past 30 years, and it has to remember that those days are over. And this is a brand new team, and the way this team has been molded, this team is not going to fold like other teams. This team's, no offense to past coaches, but if this the way this game was felt like for a while was a game that they would have blown a few years ago under Capuano. That's a game where they gave up a goal a minute left, they would have totally lost that game. This team is just different. It's coached differently. The leaders in that locker room have them just playing with confidence. And I have a feel. Look, this team can win a one-goal game, and it's going to play them all year. And it's built for the playoffs. This team is heavy, doesn't have enough high-end skill, but it's going to be in every game. There might be a couple no-shows. They're not no-shows, but there might be a game or two that get away. It happens in the playoffs. But for the most part, this team is going to be playing tight games throughout. So it's battle-tested already. It's been through the ringer of winning one-goal games all season. So they know they have no margin for error, and I totally get what Trotz is saying. Like, guys, you got to stay loud the whole game because we're going to be okay. It's almost like the players pick the fans, pick up the players, and the players pick up the fans. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, and what's the favorite line you love saying? The bad man can't hurt us anymore? And it's absolutely true.
The bad man can't hurt us anymore. That's right. And I get it. When you've been that bad for so long, you expect the worst all the time.
Yeah, and you know it hasn't happened this year at all. You know,
this would have been a game they would have lost a couple of years ago. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they would have given up the tying and, you know, eventually game-winning goal within like 2 minutes of each other. But
yeah,
they responded, you know, right out of the gate in overtime, and there was a little doubt. You know, a couple other players who had, you know, good games. Also, the combination of Pulak and Pellak, they shut down.
Very good.
Gensel, and they shut down Crosby up. For all the criticism that Pellick's gotten the first half of the year, and, you know, deservedly so. He wasn't that good. He even got scratched a couple of times. He rebounded very nicely the second half of the year, and he's become very, very trustworthy.
Yeah, he's been very good. We have to credit that because he was not good at the beginning of the year. But him and Pulak, they just know each other so well. They've played so many games together. And he's that nice stabilizing force playing with Pulak. Let's Pulak, you know, rove a little more. And the nice thing, too, is that Pulak has been – the development of him to the point where he is just so confident in every zone, it allows Pellick to take more chances now too. And he has some offensive ability.
He does, yeah. He gets a lot of good chances as well. So both of
them – He does. And he's buried a few of them this year. So.
Yeah, right. And it's not like if one of those guys, you know, pinches, it leaves him on, you know, on an island. They're both – they pick each other up pretty well. And, you know, they basically, you know, stand up for each other, you know. But – let's take the good with the bad. Scott Mayfield was absolutely horrendous last night, and I feel just this matchup is not good for him, the series with the Penguins.
Yeah, Tate was good, but Mayfield was just – I don't want to say lost. He just really struggled last night. You're right. He had a problem with the speed of the Penguins. and he got caught in between on a few occasions, especially the game time goal where he basically just, you know, was a tree in front of Robin Lehner.
Yeah.
So you hope he can bounce back. He's had a fantastic season. But, you know, he's a bottom pairing defenseman. And every, you know, there's a reason for that.
Right.
He has some deficiencies, and they are, they came to the surface in game one. So you have to, maybe he's a little less aggressive in the neutral zone and in the opposing end, stays back a little bit and asserts himself more physically in front of that. You hope he bounces back. But the nice thing is, look, if it doesn't work, you can always bring Hickey into the mix. I mean, he's battle tested and he would be fine coming in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about having, you know, the depth defenseman that they do. It's not like they have like a Griffin Reinhardt and Matt Donovan, you know, waiting in the wings like they have had in the past in the playoffs. They have options.
And I don't think Bevilier was that great last night either. And if he needs to go to the press box, you got Dal Colson right there. So there's options all around.
Right. And it's not like, you know, Kunak was going anywhere. He's going to be a mainstay. And Bevilier had
especially in this series.
Of course.
Especially in this series, no.
Absolutely.
He is playing with a chip on the shoulder trying to say, F you for not qualifying me, Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And Bevilier had a maintenance day at practice today. And he had a maintenance day at the game yesterday because he was another no-show. I would not be surprised to see Dal Colson in there tomorrow, although they'll probably give Bevilier another
chance. I don't think they're going to make any changes coming off of game one.
No, they'll probably give Bevilier another chance.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, I don't want to jump over game two, but I'll jump over game two for a quick second. Game three with the noon start. I guess it all depends on how game two plays out, but you go back to Leonard on a short rest there, or you start Grice?
Until there's a loss, right? Not even until there's a loss. I mean, if Lehner gets yanked in the game, or maybe Lehner is the goalie right now. You're just going. Let's go. There's no reason to even think about Grice right now.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule is every other day, so, I mean, it's...
Every other day, yeah. If you have back-to-back, sure. If you're playing Hurricanes, I would understand Grice,
right.
But Lehner was fantastic in game one. Let's see what he has in game two. There's no reason to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Not that Thomas Grice couldn't handle it. Wouldn't be great.
No, of course not.
Pick a goalie and go with him right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and Leonard was really good. I mean, those goals, just none were on him, so... Speaking of every other day schedule, let's play a little game called Where in the World is Brendan Burke?
Where is Brendan Burke right now?
Okay. Currently, as we're taping this, he is calling the Capitals Hurricanes game one following last night being at the Coliseum. Tomorrow, he goes back to the Coliseum, that being Friday. Saturday, goes back to Washington for game two. Sunday, he gets a break because the Islanders are on national TV on NBC. So he gets a little break there, but game.
No, I think he's still doing the post game though. I think he's doing pre and post.
He's
going back to Pittsburgh. MSG Plus is doing pre and post.
Right, I can't imagine him doing that. They might just have.
Well, he'll
like,
be there. He has to go back to Pittsburgh anyway. So he'll. I would think.
Well, no, because then they have to do game three of the.
But he said himself last
he's
night.
He's going back.
He'll be there on Sunday.
Oh, well, God bless
him. I believe he said that in the post game with Butch. So I know you didn't see the game because you were at the sound time
last
night. All That's right. A whole other issue.
Okay, so let's address that right now, okay?
Yeah, let's address that. All right, listen to all my listeners. Noel chose to go to the Sound Tigers game as opposed to watching game one of the Islanders game. I know you watched it from your phone, but it's not the same.
Okay, all right, here we go. Okay. I was at the Sound Tigers game. I watched the game on a TV. I watched the first two periods on a TV there, not my phone. I got home in time.
Why did you go to the game?
Because we already had tickets. My son wanted to go. He watched the game too.
And a stupid decision by your son.
We watched the game and we were home in time for the start of the third period. We saw the whole entire.
So you went to another sporting event, but you went to the Sound Tigers game, but watched another event while you were there. So what's the point of going? Stay home, watch it from your big screen.
It's not like I watched it on like a Watchman. I watched it on like a 52-inch TV there, and it's not like I went to a Battle
Egg. Okay,
you know I didn't go to Ice Capades or Disney on Ice.
Okay, no, those are things that'll keep the Sound Tigers from playing, you know, a normal schedule in the playoffs.
Well, actually, that being said, you know, Sound Tigers.
There's always building conflicts. There always are.
Oh, always. You know, congrats to the Sound Tigers. They clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, and they're still fighting. It's amazing the change for this whole organization. The Islanders get home ice first time since, you know, I guess the Reagan administration, you can say. You know, the Sound Tigers are 1 point away from getting home ice as well. It's a far cry from a year ago when this whole organization was in disarray. So congratulations to them as well. I will be at the Sound Tiger playoff games. No conflicts with the Islanders, okay, Dan? And
okay.
All right. I can multitask. And that's what I did last night. I must have watched,
I don't know,
3 minutes of the
Sound Tigers game. Sketchy decision.
It's not like I was, you know, next to like an AP ticker waiting for results of the Islander game. You know, like
a telegram was coming in.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's, but I watched it.
Yeah, the dots, Brock Nelson stop, power play goal stop.
Exactly. You know, it's like the 1919, you know, Black Sox, you know, waiting for the.
Look, you're a good father. You're a good father. You took your kid to the game. Your kid's a turd for wanting to go to the game.
Well, you know, because he's still obsessed with getting sticks. So
did he get any last night?
No, he didn't get any last night. So
okay,
but you know, I don't cry for him. He's gotten like 5-6 this year already. So
yeah, he's doing. I'm surprised he hasn't tried for Wahlstrom yet.
Oh, he did. He tried.
Okay, all right. Yeah. How did Wahlstrom look, by the way?
I couldn't tell you last night. I literally watched zero.
Oh, that's right, because you were watching a different event. Yeah,
I was watching the Islander game. So. But Kiefer Bell has finally scored his first goal, I think, since the Reagan administration as well. But it was, you know, a pretty nice goal. But Wahlstrom had an absolute blast on for his first professional goal on Saturday. So hopefully we'll see, you know, many more of those to come.
Yeah, it's good to see Bellows get back in the mix. And the biggest thing with him, he just needs to improve his skating. He can play this game. His hands are good enough. His IQ is good enough. He needs to think the game a little quicker, and he has to become a better skater. I actually had a former Islander player say, looks like he was trying to wear rollerblades on ice. That's how bad his skating is. So he's got to put the work in the offseason, which I'm sure he will. And he has improved the skating as opposed to where he was last year, but it has to get much better. And it's not so much his top-end speed. It's never the top-end speed with these guys, like Dal Cole.
Right.
His top-end speed was always fine. It's the starts and the stops. That's where they have to get better. Yeah. The acceleration.
Right. And, you know, being on this ATO for him is perfect. You know, getting a taste of professional games before he really starts his career is really, really beneficial for him, too.
Sure. Yeah, it is. It is. So, you know, the Bellows and Wahlstrom will put the work in the offseason, and you just hope that there's some progress with them next year.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we talked about before, Kunackle being signed, getting Matt Martin back, Val Fippola. One of the guys, I mean, he takes just, we talk about this every show. We should really get this sponsored.
Uncle Leo takes stupid penalties, I know.
And, you know, in the playoffs, you cannot take these stupid penalties.
I know. We all know it, but it still happens. I'm sure it's being addressed.
You would hope so. I mean, it's not like he's coming out of the lineup. That's not going to happen. But
no, it's not going to happen.
You know, I don't know. It's enough already because, you know, you're not going to keep Crosby. You're not going to keep Gensel off the score sheet all time. You know, Kessel scored. You know, Malkin's going to score. All these guys are going to score. It's whether or not you can limit them.
That is one thing that's concerning. The Penguins do not have to work nearly as hard to generate scoring chances, and the Islanders have to work their tail off to generate scoring chances. So yeah, there are some things that they're going to need to tighten up. They're going to have to keep the Penguin forwards to the outside a little bit more. Their gap control has to be a little bit better. It got a little loose in the second period yesterday and in the first as well, because that game was wide open in the first period.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some things to tweak, but it's always good to be tweaking things after a win.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, you don't want to be in a track meet against the Penguins. So it's...
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. All right, Dan. So game two tomorrow night. What do you think?
I think you're going to get a real big pushback for the Penguins tomorrow night. And this will be a really good test for the Islanders to see where they are and where they fare up against the league's best. We all know they can play with the Penguins, but they are going to get a massive push tomorrow. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to need Pulak and Pellick to be even better than they were in game one. And they are really, you know, damn good limiting basically Crosby and Gensel's chances, which I think they had maybe three combined.
The best way to beat the Penguins is have and control the puck. If you know, there was a couple shifts where Crosby was in his zone his entire shift. So you need the puck tomorrow. Play with the puck and things will be a lot better.
All right, Dan, we'll see you.
Thanks, bud. Let's go, Alice.